what it's about. I think about Valentine's Day. Valentine's is a cool time. It's a great time to just, you know, as couples to reconnect, you know, like to give a card or write a note, to give a little gift or just take a little bit of time just to go out for a walk or whatever together, just to be together. But it also reminds us of the love of Christ, because we as His church have been called to have a relationship with Him. Like, we are the bride, right? He came back to get the girl. He came back to fight for us, gave His life for us, and He wants us to be with Him. Wants us to be with Him. So be with Him. That's all I could say. I just, you know. Anyway, tonight there's young adults here at 7 o'clock. For those of you that aren't too old to be there, come on out. We'll have a great time together again. We're still on the series, The God I Never Knew. It's amazing, just talking about the Holy Spirit and His work in our hearts and lives and what He wants to do. Today we're going to continue on with our series, Audacious. It's a word that means this: extremely bold or daring, recklessly brave, fearless, extremely original, without restriction to prior ideas, highly inventive, recklessly bold in defiance of convention, lively, unrestrained, uninhibited. What a cool way to live. What a way to live. What a way to just enjoy life. It's just to be bold. But I think that a lot of us aren't bold. And over this past 4 weeks, we've been talking about what it means, how to become bold, how to learn to trust in God, how to learn to know that God is our source of vision and mission for life, that God is with us, that God will never leave us, that God could do anything. He could take down the walls of Jericho. He could slay an army as they were running away with hail. He could make the moon and the sun stand still. We talked all through Joshua about what Joshua was doing and how he was so bold and why he was so bold. Well, God's called us to be bold too. We need to be willing to take risks, right? We need to be willing to go out on a limb for God. We need to do what's in our heart to do because we believe it's right and good for us to do it. We need to do that. Living life in a way that makes your heart pound and feel the joy that was yours, that is to be yours, right? If your heart doesn't pound once in a while, if your heart doesn't beat hard once in a while, if you're not a little bit feeling like you're going past your limits once in a while, life is boring. Life is not being lived the way God meant it to be lived. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as though you were working for your real master and not merely humans." Everything you do it as if you were doing it for God, right? So if you're working in a plant, you're putting things together and it's a boring job, do it as though you're doing it for God. We were talking, like we had this marriage thing on, or this Valentine's thing on Friday night. And the guy, one of the things he said that really struck me is one of the guys, Pastor Sammy, forget his last name, Rodriguez. I knew it was Spanish. Hernandez Rodriguez. Anyway, he said this, and it really, really captured me again. He said, like, if we build healthy relationships as couples, then we'll build healthy families. If we build healthy families, we'll build a healthy church. If we build a healthy church, we're going to build a healthy community. If we have healthy communities, we'll have a healthy nation. So you, in the little things you do in your house and with your spouse, it makes a difference in a national way. I really believe that. I really believe so much in the fact that God has called us as the church to love each other, as Christ loved the church. He called us to love, and it says if we would love each other, that the whole world would know that He was sent by His Father. We'd overcome all the obstacles, that there is a God, number one, and that number two, He cares and loves people. If we would love each other. But the place love starts is with the person you live with every day. You know? So I don't even know why I got there, but anyway. Live wholeheartedly. So when you're in your marriage, right, or in your family with your kids, don't do it half-heartedly. Don't live half-heartedly in front of your family. Don't treat your family half-heartedly. Don't listen half-heartedly. Don't speak half-heartedly, right? Don't think and speak without really taking time to really just plan it out and do it with your whole heart. I think so much about how our families turn out and how our families grow in God is because we're intentional and we're doing it with all our heart before God. You know, I watch families because I've been a youth pastor for like getting close to 30 years now. And I see families where people are intentional on how they raise their kids and are intentional on how they love each other and how they participate in God's house and how they prioritize their life. And I see healthy, strong families. And I see families that just sort of live from whatever comes up to whatever comes up. Whatever is, you know, just happens. And they deal from crisis to crisis to crisis. And life never comes out right. But if we live boldly, if we live out front of all that stuff and say, these are our priorities, these are our values, and live it with all our heart, it makes a huge difference in our life. Do you live wholeheartedly? Or are you just doing what's expected of you? Like I know a lot of times when you work, you know, I've worked lots of times in places where I just didn't like the environment, didn't like my boss or whatever, and I just did what I was expected. Work to rule, right? You got to do what you're expected to do, but God's called us to live wholeheartedly. Maybe you're looking for a job and you're just doing what's expected because unemployment would expect you to fill out so many resumes and do so many things and then, you know, you might get a job. Well, do it wholeheartedly. Search with all your heart, right? How's your relationship with God? Right? Do you just come to church on Sunday and maybe read a couple of verses through the week and that's it? Or are you really searching after Him and reaching out for Him wholeheartedly? Is there really a trust and a fervency for God in your life? Or are you just sort of just doing whatever comes up? Dealing with whatever happens? If we live in it with a trust for God, that He's taking care of it, that He's got it, that we already have everything we need, all we got to do is lay hold of it, we could live great lives. Bold lives that make a difference in our communities, make a difference in our families. Start off in our relationship with each other as husband and wife, or, you know, then our relationship as families, right? Kids and adults included, right? And then as a church, everything we do, if we do it wholeheartedly, it changes the picture. God didn't just send His Son to help us survive this thing, right? He didn't just make it so we could get by the skin of our teeth. He sent His Son so we could overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is we have to be bold and trust God. If we're going to overcome in this world, if we're going to be those kind of people, we have to have trust and faith in God. Is it possible that God really wants us to have that kind of sun stand still kind of faith, like Joshua prayed? Sun stand still, moon stand still. I got something I got to get done here. Does God really still want us to have that kind of faith? Is God still able today to exercise His power on our behalf the same way He was when Joshua walked the earth? I think He is. Do you really believe that if we have the audacity to ask, that God still has the power to do it? Because He does. We pray, like most Sunday mornings when I lead out in prayer, I pray through the names of God, right? But God hasn't changed. God, who was healer when He walked the earth as Jesus, is still healer today. God, who was provider in all through the Old Testament and the New Testament and all the church age that's gone before us, is still that same God today. But do you believe it? Do you really have the audacity to ask God and then believe that He'll do it? And really just lay hold of it? Because boldness has a lot to do with laying hold of something. Grabbing hold and carrying it through no matter what the cost. So what are you doing to build your faith, to increase your boldness? What are you doing to do that? We need to increase it. We need to develop in our faith. We need to develop in our walk with God. We need to develop boldness. What are you doing to do that? Too many people carry dreams in their heart and never ever make a start at it. Never ever jump at an opportunity. Never ever take the first steps needed in order for the thing to be fulfilled. Too many people carry dreams in their heart and aren't willing to pay the price to really latch on to God and really believe that it could come to pass. I think about, young people in their careers sometimes. It takes sacrifice, to go to school, to work, to own a car, to pay your bills, to get your education and to carry on with a career that you dream of. It takes sacrifice. It takes hard work. It takes focus. How many of you are willing to live that way? Sometimes we say, I want a better job or I want to have a better life. But how many people actually take hold of it and start moving ahead to progress it? Like, how many times have people had marriage problems or problems with their kids and they just close their eyes and hope it will change, but it won't change? Because there's steps needed on our behalf. There's steps needed on our part to carry the thing forward. We need to have audacity and boldness to carry it forward. Right? I tell you what, being married, those of you that have been married for a long time know that good marriages don't just happen. Marriages that just happen usually happen to fall apart. Right? But people that actually work at it and take steps necessary to make it work and to keep it fresh and to keep it nice and to do those things, those people have strong marriages. Those people who are always at it with their kids, always just taking opportunities to teach and instruct and be patient and diligent in like discipline and all these different things. It takes steps to get ahead. It takes steps to change things. And it is like that in anything we do with God and for God. If you have a dream, then what actions are you taking to bring the dream into reality? There's something on your part that needs to be done today so that that dream could come true someday. There is something that you need to do today that to make that dream come true someday. I remember, when I was, I think, trying to remember because everything, blurry. But I think I was about 16 or 17 years old. We were in the old building there in Jubilee out in Canberra. I was standing right in front of the sound booth that day. And I was standing there in worship and I heard God speak clearly to my heart. If you're faithful in little things, I'll make you a ruler over large. And I committed that day to be faithful and just do whatever it took to do to be faithful, And in that building, seriously, I've done ushering. I did, changing diapers. I did kids ministry. I nailed down subfloor. I did whatever. Whenever there was something that needed to be done faithfully. And God just, as you do what's expected, as you do what you're called to do faithfully and just put one foot in front of the other, if you do something today, your dream can come true down the road someday. But there's something you need to do today. Today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. Day to start. Day to begin. Many times, it's having the audacity to believe that if God has promised it to you, then He's equipped you to do it. That he's promised and asked you to do something, that He's equipped you to do it, and then live boldly in faith that you can carry it out. There's a lot of things that we dream about that seem out of reach at the time. But as we make steps and as we trust God and as we follow Him, things happen and God brings it about. So I want to look at one particular lady in the New Testament today, who had a really bold faith, really bold and strong faith. And she had something on her mind that she wanted to see God do. And she wasn't going to let go of God until he did it. Until he brought it about. Okay, so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and on. If you want to turn to that in your Bibles, you can. It says, Jesus left that place and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the territory came to him and began to shout, Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. Then his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away. She keeps shouting behind us. Jesus responded, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the nation of Israel. So she came to him, bowed down and said, Lord, help me. Jesus replied, It's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, You're right, Lord, but even the dogs eat scraps that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, Woman, you have strong faith. What you wanted will be done for you. I think there's some things that are pretty notable about this woman and her faith. There are some things that she did that I think are really incredible. And I want to talk about those for a little while, because she wanted something from God, and she had the boldness and the strength to really latch on and grab hold of it. So the first thing is that she knew he could help her. She knew that Jesus could help her. She was convinced of it. She knew it was him that she needed. If we read the account of this miracle, we could see plainly that she knew where she could find help. It was a large crowd, you know, gathered around Jesus. Whenever he went, there was a large crowd that followed him. And in that crowd, there was probably a lot of religious people, religious leaders of the day. But she zeroed in on Jesus, right? There was a lot of probably doctors and stuff in the crowd. But she didn't go there. She zeroed in on Jesus because she knew that when Jesus spoke the word, things changed. Right? Do we know that? That when God says something, that he'll do it? Right? If God says in his word that he'll do it, then he does it. Right? It's true. We can trust his word to be true. The Bible said that his word, he's even exalted above his name, the most powerful name in the universe. That if he says it, it's true. Do you know that if you step out boldly like this lady did, that he'll come through for you? Whatever it is, he'll come through for you. If you're trying to share Jesus with someone, right? And I know a lot of us get nervous about that. If you're trying to share Jesus, but you step out boldly, you can know that God's going to be with you. He promised he'd come to your help. If you're sick and you need healing, and you step out boldly and ask God to heal you, he'll heal you. He promised he would. As much as when we pray here, we say, Lord, you said whenever we gather in your name, that you'd be among us, we could trust that he's among us and he'll be with us. If you're a person that feels like, you know, I got to start this new business, and you step out boldly and you do what God's called you to do, then you could trust that God will be with you. You know, in this world today, you need a lot of creativity to start a new business, right? And to step out into this marketplace. But we have the God who created creativity. He is the most creative being in the universe, lives inside of us. Whatever we need, wherever we're going, if we ask God and we're led by him, he'll come boldly to our help. He'll help us. He'll help us to bring it across. I really believe that if you lay hold of God's promises for health and healing, for supply, for all these things, and come boldly to him like this woman did, that he'll come through for you. And what you believe matters, right? If you don't believe it, it isn't going to help you, right? If you don't actually believe in God and that he's willing and able to help you, then there's a problem. And I'm going to read you some scriptures about this. And it may seem harsh, Because a lot of what we receive or don't receive in our life is because we either believe or don't believe. So in Mark 11, 20 to 24, it says, as the disciples walked past the fig tree the day before, Jesus had cursed his fig tree on his way to Jerusalem, and the next day they're walking by it. So one day, right? One day, they noticed it was completely dried up, roots and all. Now, I've seen trees die fast. Because every once in a while, like bushes and stuff, I want to get rid of them. I get the Roundup out or the Killex out, and I spray it down. But anything you spray, anything that dies, usually you don't really see it for a week or so. Right? But this was the very next day, and it was a tree that was old enough to bear fruit. Right? And Peter remember what Jesus had said to the tree. Peter said, "Teacher, look, the tree you put a curse on is dried up." And Jesus told his disciples, "Have faith in God. If you have faith in God and don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it will. Everything you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have faith." So believe in God that He is the only one, or is the one who is all we need, and that we trust in Him, that He'll come through for us, that makes a huge difference on the outcomes. You guys all know my story about, the headaches. I had headaches for years and years, over 20 years. It came a point where I just said, "I can't stand it anymore. I'm trusting you, God, for healing. I can't stand another day of headaches." It was July 14th. I think since that day, I used to have a headache 3, 4, 5 days a week, mostly 5, 6, maybe 7 even sometimes. Bad headaches. Like I'd take 3 or 4 ibuprofen, 2 or 3 times a day just to deal so I could function. That's a lot. Like if you see, if you think about that, how many bottles of that I ate, through the course of the last 20 years. But God came through. When I said, "That's enough," and I really stood. And at first, there was a few days where I just, I had this huge headache. And I was just like, "God, I'm trusting in you." And I'm not telling you drop your pills, I'm not telling you that. But trust in God and let God do a work. Because I lived with it for 25 years. One of the things I've learned is that whatever you tolerate, you'll live with. If you'll tolerate it, you'll live with it. But as soon as you stop tolerating, as soon as you dig in and grab hold of God, it might take a little time, but God comes through. It's not because God isn't willing. The work is already done. The Bible says, you think back to like Isaiah 53 for healing, right? By whose stripes we are healed, right? In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by whose stripes we were healed, right? Past tense, we were. We're already walking in that. So we could trust God. We could trust God that He said, "My God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We could trust that. We have to lay hold of it. Another scripture found in James 1, verse 6 and 7. "But when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that's driven and blown about by the wind. If you're like that, unable to make up your mind and undecided in all you do, you must not think that you'll receive anything from the Lord." This woman was fully convinced and had her trust fully in Jesus to deliver her daughter from this situation. And that's why she just kept pushing on Him to come through. She just kept asking. She kept rephrasing the question. Jesus kept throwing her contradictions. She kept coming back with reasons why. She was willing to carry it through because she believed that Jesus was the answer for her life. Do you believe that Jesus is the answer? Do you actually believe that He's the answer for you? Because He is. He is. The second thing I think we can learn from this lady is she was not willing to let her feelings get in the way. You know what? We all time, as people, I think in North America especially, we're really soft. We get our feelings hurt really easily. We're moved a lot by how we feel and what we feel. This woman was tough, though, eh? Like Jesus was like to her, He ignored her completely. Like, just totally ignored her. She's crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. My daughter, you know, she's got a devil. Get rid of it. Have mercy. And Jesus just walking along like he don't even hear her. And then the disciples say, well, she's making a fuss. Can you just do something? Tell her to get lost or something? Right? So, like, they treated her like bad. And she just kept pushing in. She kept holding on. And she knew Jesus was the answer. And she's going to lay hold of that. She's going to reach out and grab hold of what Jesus had for her. So then Jesus says, well, I didn't even come for this kind of person. I came for the lost sheep of Israel. I didn't come for her. So then she's again, Jesus, she bowed down and she said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me. And Jesus said, it's not right that I feed you, the dog, the family pet, before I feed the children of Israel, my family, the kids. It's not right. And she just kept coming and coming and coming. Like when he said, feed the family dog after you feed the kids, that would be it for me. My feelings would be hurt. I'd be ticked off and I wouldn't even want to talk to him. Fine, I'll live with it. I don't want to deal with you. You're an idiot. Like, seriously, think of that. It's in front of a crowd and he's talking to her like that. How much would that hurt your feelings? Like, I know there's people that if I don't say hi in the morning, sometimes their feelings are hurt. Sometimes you just have to correct someone. You know, if you correct your kid, their feelings get all bent out of shape and hurt. But this woman realized where her help was and she wasn't going to let her feelings get in the way. How much do we let our feelings get in the way? How much do we, as God's people, when we're laying hold of something and stepping out boldly and believing God to come to our help, how easily do we get our feelings hurt? You know, when we get convicted by the Holy Spirit sometimes, instead of getting better, we just like push back on God. We get upset. And God wants to do something in our life, but we cannot be moved by what we feel. We can't be. This woman was not. I'm going to catch up with my notes here. I'm pretty sure, as I said again, like that, if Jesus would have said that to me, he'd have hurt my feelings. He wasn't trying to ignore her. I don't believe he was. I think he was just trying to get to the root of her faith and really just see if she would have the faith to press in. Because nothing in this life, like salvation is free, right? That's free. But we still have to give all of our lives to God, right? We can't earn salvation, but he expects us to give all of ourselves to him. When we get saved, he expects us to give everything to him. And there's nothing really, like, there's always conditions in the Bible. Like, there's conditions for everything. There is. Like, if you, right, then you. Right? If you bring all your tithes in the storehouse, then God will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing you can't contain. Right? If you lay hands on the sick, then they will be healed. Right? If there's any sick among you, let them call. Then the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. Right? Whatever, there's always a condition. And we hate conditions. We want it all. We just want to just like rub the genie, the bottle, have the genie pop out and give us three wishes. But there's a faith and just a tenacity that we need to walk out and receive what God has for us. This lady was not willing to let her feelings get in her way. I love this. But he did not answer her at all. Like, how many of you have ever been ignored? Like, just, it feels awful, right? When you're trying to talk to someone and they're just ignoring you. Right? That's an insult in itself. Sometimes we feel like because we don't get an answer right away or our life hasn't changed right away that we're being ignored by God. And no, he isn't ignoring you. But you got to keep holding on to what he promised. Right? We got to hold on to what he promised. Then his disciples urged him, send her away. She keeps shouting behind us. Sometimes we got to be a little annoying in the face of God. Right? God's not worried about you bugging him about stuff. God's not worried about you being a little bit, you know, tenacious and keep asking, you know, he's not worried. He doesn't bother him. I can't believe that he gets worked up, because when this lady kept bugging him, kept asking him, his disciples wanted to send her away. He didn't send her away. He just threw her another obstacle that she had to overcome. He said, like, you know what? I ain't come for you. I came for these people. You're not part of the in crowd. You're part of a different crowd. I didn't come here for you. And then he said, like, it's not right. He goes on to say, she came down and bowed down and said, Lord, help me. And he says, not right to take children's food and throw it to the dogs. Like, this has been so many opportunities for her to get offended and to get hurt, but she just kept coming at him. There's something that we can't quite understand, I think, in our culture mostly, because of where we were raised, because where we've lived our life, we have a hard time understanding it. We're so easily offended and hurt. I think that we often give up really quickly because it doesn't appear to be going our way. When we pray and don't get answers right away or receive it right away, we just think that God says no, when in fact he's waiting on our persistence and our faith to lay hold of what we're asking for. I remember when I was in India about 6 years ago, and we were done with our mission trip. We were back in Bangalore, India, waiting to go back, and we just took a day to shop. And shopping there is so different than here. They have nice stores where you could walk into. It's like dirt, you know, a lot of dirt streets, and then you walk into these stores. They're all marble floors, and just spotless. But like on the streets, there's beggars. There's street peddlers, and there's so many choices and so many things, and everything is, it's like right in your face, you know? And I remember this one guy. Whenever I think about persistence, I think about this guy, because he was insisting that he was going to sell me a knockoff Rolex watch, right? So like he had this Rolex watch. It was a knockoff, and he wanted to sell it to me. Well, on my 40th birthday, I got a nice watch, and bought myself a nice watch. I still have it. It's an Esquire, and I was like happy. I never had a really nice watch before, and now I had two really nice watches. And I'm like, I don't need a watch. Leave me alone. I don't want it. But he kept following me, and like, come on, buy a watch. Come on, pull in. He's pulling on my shirt, and I'm like, ah, get away. And I go into stores where they had security, and get them to chase the guy away, and I come out of the store, and he'd be right on me again, you know, like we're sitting at a restaurant, kind of sidewalk cafe, and over the other side of the fence, he's like standing there trying to sell me this watch, and he just won't quit. So I'm with Ted Uke, and Ted's pretty loud. So Ted's yelling at him, get lost, go away. He says, you've got to talk like this. These people don't get no for an answer, right? So he just keeps going. So finally, he brought his partner in on the deal, and I'm like, I like my personal space, and they're both right in my personal space, right? And I'm just like, ugh. So finally, his partner had a couple of some nice baseball caps that were like glove leather. It was really nice kind of Nike caps. So I said, look, I don't want a watch. But if I buy a couple of these hats from your partner, will you leave me alone? So like after a half an hour of him torturing me, right, he got what he wanted. They got a sale, and they got what they wanted. But like these people were so persistent, so at it, so strong. And I'm like, get lost, go away, beat it, scram, like go, just that. You know what? How many of us are like that when we're trusting God for something? How many of us are just persistent that we won't give up, we won't stop asking, we just keep pushing and asking and pushing and asking and pushing? That's what this lady did. She just kept pushing and asking. The third thing we can learn from her is she would not take no for an answer. She refused to take no for an answer. She's not only moved by what she saw or by her circumstances, even though it looked apparent that Jesus was hesitant to help her, even though it seemed like Jesus was saying no, she persisted in moving forward toward her goal. This is what she said. I love her line because, like, you know what? I think sometimes we give up, and he says, like, I don't think it's right to feed the dog before we feed the kids. And she says, you're right. You're right, Lord. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table onto the floor. And she's not able to go. She was not about to give up and take no for an answer. She was going to keep on pressing in until she received what she came for. She was going to keep coming up with a retort, a comeback. Every time that Jesus said something that said no, she was going to come back and say, this is a reason you should say yes. Right? Even though he said, I don't want to feed the pets, she said, even the pets get the crumbs. And she just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Are you willing, right, to persist until you get an answer? She was willing to take it on the chin in front of everybody. Like, seriously, a crowd. He says, you're a dog. She says, you're right. Give me my crumbs. Right? Like, that takes not only faith, but humility. Because when you realize Jesus is all there is, you'll be humble before him. It's not a big deal. We just want to hold on to everything. We want to just keep life exactly the way it is, and we want what we want. But we have to adapt. We have to get tough. We have to not be able to take no for an answer. Because if you won't take no for an answer, the Bible teaches pretty clearly that you'll get what you're asking for. To read in the story of blind Bartimaeus, right? He's like along the road. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody's like, shut up, you're bugging him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he just kept going and going until Jesus called him out of the crowd and said, you're healed. Right? He went above the normal. He was bold. He was willing to take a risk. He was willing to do what was out of the box and what was out of the ordinary and get what he wanted. We read in the story of the unjust judge, where the lady just kept coming to him and saying, it's not fair, what's mine is mine. And he just finally gave up because she kept coming and gave her what she wanted. Here's another story, Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 9. Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you goes to a friend's house at midnight and say, friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who is on a trip has just come to my house and I don't have any food for him. And suppose your friend answers from inside, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you the bread because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you are not ashamed to keep on asking. And so I say to you, ask. And this word is ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. This word ask actually means to beg, to cry out, to plead. Ask and keep asking. Knock and keep knocking. Right? And the door will be open to you. It's persistence and faith. It's trusting God. It's not letting go. It's being bold enough to believe that God not only can, but he will. That will bring the result. The end result was that Jesus delivered her daughter and recognized her for having great faith. Right? Even though she cried out several times, Lord, heal me. He recognized her great faith. And I guess that's what I would hope he would do for all of us when the story's written about our lives and when the final chapter is done, that he would say, these were people with bold faith. These were people that trusted me. It's up to us, right? It's our choice. But I really believe if you want to do something great for God and if you really want to see God do something great in your life, you've got to be bold. You've got to keep going at it and keep putting the obstacles out of the way and keep reaching out for God. I don't think God has ever put an obstacle in our way. I really believe that a lot of the obstacles that we have, we're putting in our own way. We just got to trust God. We got to reach out. The work is done. Even as we read, you know, in Isaiah and 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 2. The work is done. Let's lay hold of it. So, Lord, we just come and ask you today, Lord, to work in our hearts and work in our lives. Lord, as we're, Lord, I believe being called by you to live up another level. Lord, to develop in our faith and to live life boldly for you, God. I just pray, Lord, that you just come along with the power of your Holy Spirit and just, Lord, show yourself strong in each life. Lord, I just pray that you'll just move in each heart, in each life, in each body here, Lord, in each household here today, Lord. That you do great things. We ask this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.